Hi, this is Patty Scalzo, welcoming you to the Bible study program, Shiar Jashub, brought to you by the Church of Shiar Jashub Christian Tabernacle in Madison, Connecticut. Today, we will begin the next sermon in my husband, Pastor Greg Scalzo's series on the Book of Romans. But before we go into the sermon, let me remind you about our website at shiarjashub.org. Make it your site for serious Bible study and access to hundreds of free Bible study radio programs and videos. That's shiarjashub.org. Here is Pastor Greg Scalzo.
Last time we left off the study in Romans in chapter 2 and verse 13. We were in the section where Paul is discussing the righteous judgment of God, his judgment according to the truth in verse 2 of chapter 2. Let's reread verses 5 to 13. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. For as many as have sinned without law will perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law. The doers of the law will be justified. Not the hearers, not those who seem religious, not those who have inherited Judaism, not those who have inherited Christianity. The doers of the law will be justified. And we said that throughout this section on God's righteous judgment, the truth of the situation, the reality of the condition of each person, the reality of sin, and the reality of God's wrath against unrighteousness is seen over and over again. God is a righteous judge. God is a just judge. There is a reality. Sin brings wrath. Patience, hope, doing that which is right and holy brings eternal life. God is a righteous, just God. And there's a need for repentance. He says in verse 4 that God's forbearance, his goodness, is to lead us to repentance. And it's very clear from the section that there's nothing arbitrary, nothing erratic, nothing frivolous or fickle about God's judgment. Very clear how God judges. God's way is clear. God's judgment is clear. It's based on truth. It's based on justice. It's based on righteousness, not on partiality, not on favoritism. Because ungodliness is ungodliness, right? Sin is sin, righteousness is righteousness, godliness is godliness. And remember last time we ended up with that quote from 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7, where John says, "Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And God's wrath, remember chapter 1, verse 18, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man, and the same for the Jew, and it's the same for the Gentile, the truth. And Paul here is emphasizing it probably to those Jewish members of the church at Rome who have been the ones that have started this work, who can't help but feel there's something special about them compared to these Gentile converts, these Romans, these Greeks, these people from Asia Minor, from Alexandria, all in this commercial city of Rome who are coming to Jesus Christ. And when you start to feel that your religious position makes you something special, you can start to forget how you got to that position to begin with. And this is the trap of religion, of Christianity, of Judaism, to forget Christ, to forget Jesus. And the reason we're there, we all need Jesus Christ. And in this section, just as in chapter 1, it sounds like he's really dealing with the Gentile nations. Here he's dealing with the Jews, the Jewish believers. Sometimes it's hard for us in modern society to understand this, because when we think of Jewish people as those that don't believe in Jesus and Christians as those that do. But the first church was Jewish. It was Jewish long before it was Gentile. Matter of fact, there was a time where the believers were saying, you're going to let Gentiles into the church? Right, the book of Acts, Cornelius, Peter with Cornelius. Remember at this time, and again in the book of Acts we see this, there are Judaizers, right? Judaizers were early converts to Christianity, Jewish believers, who tried to force believers from non-Jewish backgrounds to adopt Jewish customs as a condition for salvation. In Acts chapter 15, 1, it says, and certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the customs of Moses, you cannot be saved. And you know that Paul fights against this idea. He denounces it and is seen in all his letters, especially the book of Galatians, right? Insisting that the only thing that is necessary for salvation is true faith in Jesus Christ, right? At the very beginning of the letter here, chapter 1, verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. How both need faith. And now you go into a conversation of the righteous judgment of God, giving to each according to his deeds. And you say, gee, but this is one of the biggest controversies in Christianity. Judging according to his deeds, the righteous shall live by faith. As you put the chapters together, as you see the letter, the fullness of it, Paul gives you a very clear picture, the fullness of the gospel, just like we see when we see the seven churches of the book of Revelation. If you light all seven lamps on that menorah, you start to see in the spirit the fullness of God, which sometimes doctrine of a partisan, of a faction nature over history has dissolved, because they'll read one section and not want to read the others if it kind of conflicts with their simplistic look at what the gospel is saying. It's also clear in the book of Acts, chapter 18 with Apollos, chapter 19, those approximately 12 men that Paul meets at Ephesus, that at this point, there are different understandings of what the Messiahship of Jesus means. There are some that readily accepted Jesus as the promised Messiah. John the Baptist had pointed to him, yet not necessarily understanding the depth of the relationship they were called to have with him. Maybe not understanding their sinfulness. You know, they could be quote-unquote good people, good Jews, recognizing this is the good Messiah, not necessarily understanding their sinfulness and that they needed salvation from their sins. They could see him maybe fulfilling the scriptures and not understanding the purpose of that ministry. Aren't there, we were talking about this yesterday, aren't there cults on Christianity that will accept the Lordship of Jesus Christ and pray in his name, but will not seek a personal relationship with the Lord, not necessarily understanding the need for the Lordship over their lives? If you say, is Jesus the Messiah, they will say yes, but they have no understanding of the need of Jesus Christ in their hearts. At this point, you have those not understanding the need of his life being formed inside of them by the Holy Spirit. As Paul asked those disciples in Ephesus in Acts chapter 19, he says in verse 2, did you receive the Holy Spirit? He notices something not quite right. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They believed in Jesus. So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? They said, into John's baptism. And then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And he's telling them what it means to believe. Now, they believe Jesus is the Messiah because John said, there's the Messiah. There's the Lamb of God. But they don't understand what it means to really believe in Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized. They immersed themselves into the name of the Lord Jesus. And Paul laid hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues, and they prophesied. The Spirit of God is working inside of them now in a powerful, mighty way. So you have people in the church at this time that might understand Jesus as Messiah. Some of these Jews can understand it and not understand the fullness of what's needed. And really, that's true in Christian churches today, right? And one of the keys is you can talk to people in a Christian church, a traditional church, and if you say, who is Jesus Christ? They may say, well, he's the Son of God, right? We have him right up there in the front. They won't deny he's the Son of God, many. But if you talk about being born again, they don't know what you're talking about, right? How does that impact me that he's the Son of God? What does that mean for me? How does that apply to me? So it's very easy to have a knowledge of the position that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, he's the Son of God, but what does that mean for you, oh, you Jewish believers in this church? Different degrees of understanding by the first disciples, and obviously we all need the fullness of the gospel.
Serious times require serious Bible study, and we appreciate any donation you make to Shiar Jashub Christian Tabernacle to keep this important scripture teaching ministry on WFIF. And to this cause, we are offering a very special thank you gift for your donation of $50 or more. We will send you an autographed copy of Pastor Greg's award-winning book, The Nature and Power of Prayer, 30 Bible Lessons to Effective Prayer That Will Change Your Life. This is offer 102, and you will find a link to a secure page where you can make the donation on the church website. Again, it is offer 102, and the website is shiarjashub.org. And you can always check Isaiah 7, verse 3, for the spelling. Please join us next time for Shiar Jashub.